and Yes campaigners, including Thomas Mayo. Former Shadow Indigenous Affairs Minister Julian Lisa says the debate is becoming too personal, with attacks on individuals rather than the proposal itself.
We should focus on the issues, not people. And I've talked in my speech last night not only about attacks on Thomas Mayo and Linda Burney, but also attacks on people like Jacinta Price and Warren Mundine and Karen Little. We are voting on a referendum here. This is about a change to the Constitution. I'm not on the ballot paper. None of those people are on the ballot paper.
He says the No campaign has been painting Thomas Mayo as an angry Aboriginal man who wants to tear down the country when he isn't what is on the ballot paper.
This is not what the campaign should be about. Thomas Mayo is not on the ballot paper, but people are using his words to get people angry and to get people to vote against him rather than to vote on the referendum itself.
A Greens senator has decried the lack of transparency from consultancy firms as a parliamentary inquiry delves into conflicts of interest in the industry. Barbara Pocock said it was shocking firms were still not providing key details to a Senate inquiry examining consultancy firms. The inquiry was set up after a tax advice scandal involving PwC, where a former partner passed on confidential government information to clients. Hearings have resumed today with executives from consultancy firms EY and Accenture to give evidence. The military has been called in to investigate a mystery object found on a remote beach in Western Australia. The large metal container was found on a beach at the small coastal town of Greenhead, about 250 kilometres north of Perth. WA police are still trying to identify what the object is and where it came from. But it hasn't stopped locals speculating to 7 News about what it could be.
An anchor off of one of those big tankers. I've got no idea. Space junk.
Rangers are rejecting calls for a dingo cull at a popular tourist spot on Gari, Fraser Island, despite a woman being hospitalised after she was attacked by a pack while jogging at the beach. She was flown to Hervey Bay Hospital in a stable condition with wounds to her limbs and torso after suffering multiple bite injuries about 9 a.m. yesterday, the Queensland Ambulance Service said. Rangers said at least 3 dingoes attacked the 24-year-old while she jogged at Orchid Beach on the island's northeast. She ran into the water to escape the pack. 2 men in a 4-wheel drive saw the incident and rushed to the ocean to help, placing the injured woman in the back of their ute and driving her to safety. The opening day of an inquest into a flight that crashed in far north Queensland has heard the final moments were unexceptional and quite normal. The Cessna 404 ploughed into a sand dune claiming the lives of all 5 people on board on approach to the Lockhart River Aerodrome in March 2020. 5 men aged 36 to 63 died when the aircraft went down. A 5-day inquest in Cairns is examining the training and experience of the pilot. The crash happened during a second landing attempt in poor visibility. We'll have more coming up next.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Program sponsor.
To sport, and in the NRL, Brisbane coach Kevin Walters says he expects fullback Reece Walsh to let his football do the talking when he returns from a 3-week suspension against South Sydney on Friday night. Any talking to on-field officials will be left to captain Adam Reynolds, a fact that Walsh has taken on board after he was suspended for contrary conduct in the 16-12 loss to the Gold Coast when a foul-mouthed rant at the end of the match landed him in hot water with the NRL judiciary. Walsh is one of the most competitive players that Walters has coached, but the Broncos are confident that incidents such as his running battle with referee Chris Butler in the Titans clash are a thing of the past. That's the latest National Indigenous News.
The Cairns Indigenous Art Fair will be held from 13 to 16 July, returning with the opening night party, art fair, the art market, cultural dance.
You're not sure who to turn to for legal advice? Want someone who knows what you and your mob need? Need to find someone you can trust? Call Marawa Law. They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business, and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector. They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more. Choose a law firm that understands you, Marawa Law. Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 13088.
Station sponsor.
Little things, big things grow.
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country as BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, a new season of Going Places with Ernie Dingo, a thrilling drama, Firebite, and the inaugural SBS Elder in Residence Oration, lead SBS and NITV's NAIDOC Week 2023 lineup. So Going Places returns in its fifth season. And look, we're going to catch up and have a yarn with one of the co-hosts, and that's Ray Johnston. Got Ray on the line. Ray, good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, sis, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, so I'm Wiradjuri. Grew up on Darug and Gundagara country, so Blue Mountains.
Yes.
And that's where my responsibilities to community and country are, and it's where I live today. So pretty cold here today.
Pretty cold. Like I said, I'm in Cairns, North Queensland. Shorts and football shorts and singlet on at the moment, sister.
Yeah, I'm rugged up, got the fire going, got my warm socks on.
And here to going crazy. Look, good to be yarning with you. Congratulations on your position there. It's your first gig there with the Going Places?
Yeah, first time doing a season with Going Places. It's the first time that there's been any co-hosts. So,
yeah.
You know, we're in the fifth season now of the show, and you know, it's been going for a while now, and Uncle Ernie's been holding down the fort all by himself, travelling around the country, but now there's a whole bunch of us to and share the load and, you know, disappoint people when they come up to say, oh, what are you filming? And you say, oh, I'm doing Going Places with Ernie Dingo, and they look around and they go, where's Ernie? And you go, sorry.
Sorry, me. Just me.
Sorry,
I'm the female
go,
version.
Who are you?
Security. Sister, so tell us who else is on board with Going Places, the new season.
Oh, it's so good. We've got Aaron Faso has jumped on board. So he's checking out areas in Queensland up your way and in the NT. Norelda Jacobs is also on board. She's checking out some country in Victoria and meeting some people.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca Hunt, she's travelling to New South Wales. And I've head down to Lutruwita, down to Tasmania, to chat with some mob down there and see their beautiful country.
Look, nothing beats black on black. And we were talking about First Nation people, 60,000 years, always was, always will be. And we're filming on country. By our First Nation people, that's the best ingredient we got for television, you could say.
That's it. And, you know, when you get to meet people, you know, not only are you visiting these beautiful places that everyone knows as, you know, tourist destinations, but when you get to meet people that have that strong connection with that country and they share with you that knowledge, they've been so generous. You know, and the way that we film, you know, we spend all day with someone.
Sure.
And we follow them around and they show us what they do in a day, you know, with their job or whatever it is.
Well, you as a presenter, you're getting educated as well, aren't you?
Definitely, yes. Definitely. And then I get to sit down and have a big yarn with them to find out, you know, why it is they do what they do and why it is so special to them, this place. So I think it's been a really special experience, and I've made a lot of lifelong friends through the filming of it. Met some great people. I can't wait for you all to meet them, really.
Fantastic. Ray, so tell us your story, your journey, how you got into this space and where you are at the moment.
Oh, gosh, I've got a long one. I'll give you the short version.
Give us the yarn.
I started off as an actor. That's, I was a single mum when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And when I had my son, I realised that I needed to show him that he could achieve his dreams.
Sure.
So I quickly changed course and went, no, I'm going to do it. Mm. And I started off acting. I was doing some extra work on Home and Away and all that sort of stuff. Mm. So, and then I started presenting, and that led to writing and a bit of journalism. And I started on a TV show about video games, actually.
Oh.
And then that led to reporting more about technology and then science. And eventually, 10 years later, I wound up as the science and technology editor over at NITV.
Mm-hmm.
And the episodes that I've been doing for Going Places, they've all got a bit of a science-y angle to them.
Yes.
A bit of a techie angle to them. You know, so there's, I think, a real opportunity for a lot of the people tuning in to learn, especially the white fellas tuning mm-hmm. in to learn about Indigenous knowledge
yeah.
and how it connects with, you know, Western science and modern science and how it informs that. I think a lot of my work has been about that.
Mm.
So to be able to, you know, put faces to that knowledge
exactly.
for people watching at home has been a really important part of the show for me.
Yeah, fantastic. So siblings, brothers and sisters, tell a story there, and because you didn't become, whether you like it or not, but a mentor for other young brothers and sisters looking at stepping in this field.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I have done some, like, full mentorship as well.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I've gone into a lot of spaces where I'm the only black fella, I'm the only woman,
mm-hmm. yep,
and
yep.
especially in tech and science, and I want to change that big time.
Good.
Yeah, and, yeah, the only way to do that is to make those spaces more comfortable and more safe for our mob to move into.
Exactly.
So I've been working pretty hard behind the scenes to make that happen, and we're getting to a place now where I'm seeing more and more of our mob, you know, get into these fields and have their ancestral knowledge respected as much as, you know, the science that's taught and learnt in the labs, you know.
Yes, yes.
Especially in the last few years, we've seen a lot of knowledge around land management take the spotlight.
Yes.
And we've seen a lot of the, you know, authorities turn to mob to say, well, you know, how have you been looking after this place? Because we need to start listening to you.
Well, we need more successes, black successes in this country, and not only on the football field. So it's great that you're leading in this space, you know what I mean?
I was never any good on the football field.
Thank
you, dear.
Yeah, kick it to me. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for sure.
They called me butt fingers at school.
Shut your mouth. Yeah, Ray, stay in front of the camera, sister, please.
That's the plan.
So now this fantastic program, Going Places with Ernie Dingo, like I said, returns for his fifth season. And it's a free-to-air television, but also launching off in NAIDOC Week, which is a good ingredient as well.
Oh, it's great. It's, you know, part of SBS's big celebration of NAIDOC Week and NITV's as well. And, you know, I think it's, you know, NAIDOC Week's a great opportunity to have, you know, those fantastic stories getting out there so that we can all show off, you know, how silly we are. And,
exactly.
You know?
Look at me.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic, sister. Look, thank you so very much for the yarn, and look, good luck with it all. So to all our mob out there, tune in to SBS. It presents the SBS Elder in Resident Oration from Rhoda Roberts, and there's a lot of shows going on, of course, with Going Places with Ernie Dingo. Great yarn with you. Enjoy that journey. Ernie's not alone. But let the mob know when you do turn up that Ernie's not with you, but he's still part of the team. You're part of his team. And good yarn is in. Thank you
so
for
much
the yarn,
for the young brother. Appreciate it.
You take care, sister. We'll talk soon.
Will do.
Bye, Ray.
Bye.
Diddly yarn. Ray Johnson, her name is, and she's one of the new co-hosts with Ernie Dingo, Going Places, and fantastic. And also they have Aaron Faso, who's joined the team as well, and Neralda Jacobs, as well as Bianca Hunt, and all doing their different areas, and Ernie does his area, and then all bring it all together for Going Places with Ernie Dingo, airing weekly from Saturday, 8th of July, 7:30 p.m. From NITV and SBS, and on SBS On Demand. So do check it out, your mob. Fantastic, and black people on the screen, good to see. This is your daily program, National Talk Black.
Open up my heart to relieve the pressure. Building on my chest. Once an invitation for you to unload your stress. Life without meaning, a vessel without a soul. Euphoria's finally achieved when we all just lose control. So take it easy. And take it easy. Here we go right now. I can't believe my life, cause it's heading in the wrong direction. And how many brothers out there getting lost in an intersection? I can't believe my woman just left me all alone. And even though I got four walls, this house doesn't really feel like home.
She said you better not call if you don't got nothing to say. Been staring at a wall with my thoughts in silence. Just wait on my mind, wait on my mind. Get it off with a little bit of rum and a coffee mug. Just a little bit.
Yes, a very good morning, you Deadly Mob. Welcome back to your Deadly program, National Talk Black, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BB and Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say, but call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all the traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome Black, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong, your mob. Speaking of Deadly, we're going to talk to two Deadly sisters who are a part of the Deadly Women Workshop. And we have Samantha Walker, and she brought Bodyguard in with her as well. And that's Sandra Levers. And a very good morning, ladies. How are we?
We're good,
morning,
thank you.
Trendy Trev. Trendy Trev, there it is. So start with you, Auntie Sandra Levers. Who your mob were you from, sister?
Well, how can you start a sentence with auntie and then finish with sister? Anyway.
I love you. Where you at?
Some people call me auntie and some call me sister. So,
there you go. You happy with that?
Say hello, sending a hello out to everybody in BBM land.
Yes.
My mob, I'm Jabbagai, Mullerigi, Gugayalinji, Yidinji, and my grandfather came from Tagalog country, and I identify with all those groups because I am who I come from, you know, my grannies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Lovely footprint. Samantha Walker, my sister, who your mob, where you from?
Born in Charters Towers, raised in Ingham, but I am a Bidra and Kalkadoon.
Yes.
With my great grandfather coming from
Darnley Island. So we've got connection, sister. We've got connection. And Darnley Island as well. We're connected two ways there, sister. That means you can take me to lunch.
Yeah.
Thank you. Paul Shout.
Your shout.
Paul Shout. Paulie Walker. Big shout out, my brother. Another Curry Murray. Ladies, thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking Deadly Women Workshop. So start with you, Samantha, the hat that you wear. Tell us about this deadly vehicle that you guys are driving. Educate us, please.
Yeah, so I'm the programs manager for the Indigenous Women's Development and Leadership Program, also known as Deadly Women's Program.
Yes.
And I support the training that's also delivered in the space of instructing and also mentoring.
Okay, and what sort of delivery is going on? What are you educating our girls on?
Yeah, so it's really a Certificate 1 in Workplace Skills and a Certificate 1 in Tourism that they'll complete over 10 days.
Over 10 days.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you. And the vehicle you're driving is to enhance our sisters' education in the business world, job ready, whatever case may be. But from their community, you're taking them out into the people.
Yes.
And so from there, they can venture off if they wanted to or operate in their own community.
Yeah, that's right.
With the education that they receive, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Good, because girls can do anything.
They sure can.
They sure can, fantastic. Annie Sandra, what do you do with the job? What hat do you wear?
They call me senior mentor, and I have fun in that space, but I'm also the trainer, and specifically for the Certificate 1 in Tourism, Aboriginal culture.
Yes.
And there's a lot of opportunity in that space for training our women.
Yes, yes, yes. I remember attending the Indigenous Tourism Conference here in Cairns at Pullman Hotel last year. It's a $150 billion industry. That's a big industry, you know what I mean? Mm. So I always say that we are wealthy just being black. Mm. We just got to get proactive, get our skin in the game, get educated and, mm-hmm. and run with it. I mean, culture's our product, you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, 2032 is when the Olympics is on down south. So, you know, if we can get our people trained in that tourism aspect, then, you know, we can lure some of those international guests.
Yeah, the tourists, yeah.
Because
we'll take anybody's money.
Absolutely, but if we get our people
ready, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Get our people ready, get our girls ready in this space. Like I said, in the business sense, entrepreneur sense, doors can open up.
And absolutely. If you talk about
that's a good goal set in 2032 for the Olympics. There's a pathway there that we can get ready, something to shoot for. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
How many on board, Samantha, in the team as such?
So at the moment, there's three.
Three,
in
okay.
our team.
Yep. And so taking them out to the people. So you'll travel to communities, deliver. You've got one program, one delivery, one workshop happening here in Cairns.
Yes.
Yep.
So,
tell us about that.
So it's over 10 days and it's at our InLock Training Centre starting on the 31st of July. Mm-hmm. Finishing on the 11th of August.
Okay, rightio. So is that for women here in Cairns?
And surrounding.
And surroundings, okay. Yeah.
If anyone can get here.
Sure.
Is it free training?
I was just going to say, is it cost it? No, it's free training.
Yeah.
So anybody can enroll. How many ladies are you taking on board?
Oh, I'd like to take as many as we can.
Is that right? Yeah. There you go. All right.
If we need to hold two workshops, there's
sure.
a possibility.
Starting at the coffee shop. And by another month's time, it'd be at the convention centre, yeah. is what you're saying. Just expand it. Yes. More the merrier. So how do girls apply for a seat?
So at this stage, we've got a website. So deadlywomens.org.au.
Deadlywomens.org.au. Check that out. Yep.
So I encourage everyone to have a look at that website. And there's also an apply link.
Sure.
Register.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it goes for 10 days, 8 a.m. to 4, I'm reading here, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll bring their own lunch, or how's that work? No?
That's all food provided, morning provided. Tea and afternoon tea and lunch.
Okay, and it's good networking too, isn't it?
Great networking.
Yeah.
We also bring in guest speakers.
Okay.
And we'll be doing a community visit to hopefully a art centre or a museum. So.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful, fantastic. And so when that happens, is that where you step front and centre, Anisandra, and regarding your delivery?
Absolutely. You know, I'm there from the get-go, and I'm there, you know, throughout the whole workshop. And my specialty, I mean, I've been teaching cultural safety and cultural awareness and, you know, for many, many years. And so it's something that I really love doing.
Sure.
And if I can share with our mob, and particularly our young people, our young women, then, you know, that's a bonus for me.
Yeah, lovely. Samantha, is there an age group here?
Yeah, so starting from 18 years.
Yep.
And we've taught ladies in community up to 66 years old.
Yeah, sure.
So,
beautiful.
And that's the great thing about this program. You've got young and old in one space.
Exactly.
And it's a privilege for us to be able to teach the younger ones and also the older ones. So.
Exactly.
And what we noticed in Mapoon, we did a workshop in Mapoon and also Napranum, and we noticed that there was a natural progression to an older woman and a younger woman sitting together, and that was just awesome to
powerful,
watch.
Powerful.
Very
well, there's
powerful.
A young sister getting educated by an elder, but there's an elder getting educated by a young person regarding, I don't know, technology or the space we live in 2023. So it's a good, beautiful bridge, isn't it, back and forth for both parties.
It really is, yep.
Fantastic. So you're enjoying the role, girls? Yeah, I mean, ladies, you are girls, you are ladies, to see other ladies to inspire the ladies, and as I said, girls can do anything. Just gives us a great platform. We can empower each other. Yeah, is what I'm picking up, girls.
Yeah, definitely. That's I think the biggest win of holding a position like this is being able to go out there.
Yeah.
And empower.
Sure.
My
exactly.
fellow Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women.
Yeah, beautiful, fantastic.
And if we can teach these young people that that glass ceiling doesn't have to exist for us. You know, we can go through that, and if we keep talking together and empowering each other, because there are times when I get really down, you know, and then somebody else comes along. That's what we always need to be doing. Mm. It's a family thing. Mm. It's a cultural thing.
Yes.
And that's what we need to maintain.
Well, exactly. And when you look at the road to success, it's a give and take. It's rolling with the punches. If you decide to do something in life, I've always said, you decide to do something in life, people are going to talk about you. If you decide not to do it, people are going to talk about you. So do it anyway.
Correct.
You know, it's about looking at the goal, focus on the goal and the dream, and pursue it. But enjoy the journey, you know, and the people you meet along the way, you know.
Yeah.
So
life is a wonderful journey.
It is.
And, you know, we've got to make it the best we can, because it's our only one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Well, them young ones always text each other, YOLO.
Yes.
Well, if you do right, once is enough. Yeah, they say you only live once, but if you do right, once is enough. And like you said, you only got one bite of the cherry, you know. It is only one life. And to empower yourself, you know. And I always say that everybody out there, anybody at any moment can start a new future. Because your tomorrow and your future is clean slate, you know. So you can design your life how you see fit. So this could open up doors for our sisters out there, you know, getting that education and getting that empowerment, and with a group of other sisters around them, you know, it lifts them in the spirit and in their mind and their heart and their vision and all the above, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Trevor. And, you know, I'm now in my 60s and I've had to do this workshop in order to be able to teach it.
Yeah.
And it's not true that you can't teach old dog new tricks.
Yeah.
You can teach a new trick to anybody, anytime, you know. It's about your attitude, your values and beliefs, and how you want to put them into practice.
Exactly. And traveling in life with an open mind, you know.
Indeed.
Reda just say that your mind's like a parachute. If it's not open, you're cactus.
Yeah.
Have an open mind. Be ready for the learning. And when the student's ready, teacher will arrive. Ladies, I'm so excited about this opportunity. Please do keep in touch.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep in mind National Talk Black as a vehicle to promote what you guys are doing, the good things you do, especially for them sisters who finish the course and get certified.
Mm.
They too can become mentors and having a yarn and talking about their journey as well in regard to the program that you're delivering, girls.
Thanks for the opportunity, Trev, and to talk to you.
Thank you, Anisandra.
Thank you, Trevor.
All the best. Take care, girls. Beautiful yarn there with the ladies from Deadly Women Workshop, or deadlywomen.org.au. Do check it out. Apply now. So they've got a course happening on 31st July, it's 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. So do check it online. They'll tell you where and when it's happening. Certificate 1 in workshop skills, Certificate 1 in tourism, the fact that you have a Deadly network with other sisters as well, and being taught by sisters as well. So black on black and sisters on sisters, I think, a very powerful vehicle. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black.
If only I could see what this all means.
Let's talk about
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Brother Walker.
If only I could see what you're doing to me.
I stand with you in the room.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what I lie for, but they don't want to believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't at the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited? Disinheritance took the privilege, y'all took the wealth, took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made to feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet, make a new day seem rich. Nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain for my great-grandmama, for my nana, for my cousins, for my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lockup, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to cheat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Love, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means. Black Lives Matter.
Baby, 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 baby.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it.
Look, we sacrifice another black boy's why? Just to prove another white point. Right. I will stand for the justice. I'll tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me. Typical complacent. Now she showed me love in her heart. It's so amazing. So I'ma push it forward. Praying for the fallen. Dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and that walk on by. For the lies that they preach us. The violence. Silent agreements. The pride and deceit. My willingness to believe for the nightmare. That this down dear to my dream. And I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming. The better ways of a better day. And some change that ain't gonna take another couple hundred years, nothing. We push above where we are, it ain't hard. If we all got the courage to get up and get involved with a little bit of love, come on. If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters.
Baby.
If only you could see what you're doing to me. Let's talk about it. Family. Look.
Dear Delhi, my welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Now, breaking the cycle of trauma, the importance of supporting children in PTSD affected families. Research reveals children living with parents who have post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, can experience psychological and distress as well as behavioral problems. PTSD is characterized by fear, anxiety and memories of a traumatic event and can have lasting impacts not only on people with disorder but also their family members. Members, including children. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up and have a yarn now with Renee Coffey, CEO of Australian Kookaburra Kids Foundation. Renee Coffey is an experienced non-profit leader with over 15 years' experience leading non-profits and an additional 7 years grounding in the public sector. She is passionate about working with our young people and transformative power of education and especially dedicated to helping improve the mental health of children and young people. As the CEO of Australian Kookaburra Kids Foundation, Renee's goal is to continue seeking to improve support for children living in families impacted by mental illness. With that, we have Renee Coffey on the line. And Renee, a very good morning, Renee. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based?
I'm in Brizzy.
In Brizzy. Okay, I'm in Cairns, Far North, Queensland. So thank you for coming to the program. So very important space here, breaking the cycle of trauma, the importance of children, supporting children with PTSD affected by families, affected families. So please shed some light on this space.
Yeah, absolutely, Trevor. So as we know, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, it's a chronic condition and it's often characterised by fear and anxiety and memories of a traumatic event that persists after the event itself. So the clinicians we work with tell us that it can look like reliving the traumatic event or avoiding reminders, maybe having some negative thoughts and feelings like fear, anger or guilt. And some people feel really wound up, like constantly on the lookout for danger or hypervigilant. And sometimes this goes along with other mental health issues as well.
Sure. Now, with adults, may tend to talk a bit more than children. It's harder with children. They can go into a cocoon, a shell, so to speak, and we don't know what's going on. So hence the support for children, yes?
Absolutely. So when mum or dad are experiencing PTSD, sometimes families can try to shield or protect their children from what's going on in their own lives and from their own mental health.
Yeah.
And that you know, it comes from a really good place, but we know that children are really astute observers of human behaviour and also astute observers of what's going on at home and how mum and dad are faring. So even though we can try and shield our kids from what we might be experiencing, they're usually picking up on quite a lot of what's going on at home and what's going on with mum and dad as well.
Renee, a good remedy for this is the yarn around the table, dinner table, or, you know, with family gatherings. Ask the question to have a platform for the children to speak up, yeah?
Exactly, exactly. So the clinicians tell us that the best thing is for children to actually to be open with children and to have these conversations and to help raise their awareness of what mental illness is. And that's what we do at Kookaburra Kids. We're all about, we do camps and activity days with children, and we incorporate in that, and their children impacted by family mental illness, into those great camps and fun activity days. We also bring into it some mental health literacy. Mm. So as you say, yarning with the young fellas about, you know, what they are seeing at home, what that means, and the fact that it's not their fault. A lot of the young people on the programs might think that what's happening at home is their fault, or even they might think it's mum and dad's fault, but it's really important they understand that mental illness is like all other illnesses. It's not the person's fault. And we give them some language around that and help them with some of that understanding.
So you've been the CEO of Australian Kookaburra Kids Foundation. How long has that been running for? And give us a layout of what they actually do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been running for over 20 years.
Yeah.
We started out in Sydney, but we're nationwide now. We work with children impacted by family mental illness. We have some really great activities for them that they can go to. It might be 10-pin bowling or kayaking or rock climbing, a whole lot of really great, usually outdoor, sometimes indoor activities for them to do, and also camps. And again, amazing chance for them to have a little bit of break from home, interact with some other kids, but also get that really important mental health education in there so that their knowledge of what's going on is increased. So it's a really great organisation.
Are you based only in Brisbane or do you have branches elsewhere?
We run activities and we've got team members across Australia, so including up in North Queensland.
Good.
So we run activities in Cairns and Townsville, and particularly for children from families from the Defence Forces. We know that people who are current serving and former serving members of our Defence Forces, we've got a great program for them as well, because we know that there's a lot of issues that can come out of that as well. So there's some really good programs for kids from those families as well.
And if you can give us your webpage there, please.
Yes, www.kookaburrakids.org.au. And you can go there to refer a child.
Cool.
You can also go there to volunteer if it sounds like something you'd like to do. Get out there with the kids, do some of these great programs. We're always looking for volunteers. And you can also donate.
Lovely. Fantastic. Renee, so we have PTSD Awareness Day, 27 June. But in actual fact, it's 24/7, 365 days a year, isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. It's just important that we talk about these issues that are facing Australian families and we remove that stigma. So I would just say if you have experienced something traumatic and you're still experiencing symptoms for that, please do book appointment in with your GP or a mental health professional.
Yes.
It's really important that you do get that support.
Renee, thank you for the yarn. Keep smiling. All the best. And
bye.
Deadly yarn there, and that's Renee Coffey, her name is CEO of Australian Kookaburra Kids Foundation. So do check it out, Google it, and way of supporting kids with PTSD and breaking the cycle of trauma, the importance of supporting children in PTSD-affected families. So it's a team effort, and when we have adults with PTSD, it does affect our children, so we need to have that conversation and a platform to protect and have yarns with our young ones. But, yeah, have your say. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416, the number you need to call. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Curry, and I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And happy NAIDOC, you mob. Hope you're well. And look, maybe give us a call and tell us what's happening in your area regarding celebration of NAIDOC. And all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black.
The feeling comes from where it's always been erased. mean hey my brother, wonderful papa, mean hey my sister, singing wonder.
Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Daily Mob, thank you for tuning in to National Talk Black. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, now, reaching through time, look, a fantastic story, weaves together Australian history in such a balanced and honest way, all the way from depossession and frontier violence to the Aborigines Protection Board's a harsh regime on the reserves of, and surprising acts of kindness to decades of activism. We're talking about The Reaching Time by Shauna Bostock, and got Sister on the line, author of this fantastic book, and going to have a yarn with her. Shauna, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Trevor. And yourself?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program.
Are you well?
I'm good. Yes, sister, all good. Every day by bread's a good day. Yeah, can you hear me, sister?
Are you good?
Yeah, hello? Can you hear me? Hello, sister. You there, sister? Shauna, hello. Shauna? No, Shauna. I can hear you, Shauna. Couldn't hear me. We'll get you back and we'll continue our yarn, or open up the yarn. We haven't had the yarn yet. Talking about, look, the story of Shauna's life, her journey, to uncover her family history. She's published right in the middle of NAIDOC week, so fantastic, good timing, and that was her goal. Shauna has worked tirelessly over the past 13 years to trace her ancestors' lineage all the way from colonisation through to present day, and the narrative that she has arrived is a tireless exposition of the cataclysmic impact of colonisation of Aboriginal families. Look, a fantastic story, and like, we need to find connection, and I think that's Shauna on the line there. Shauna, good morning. Can you hear me, sis?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Good.
That's great.
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Very excited.
Thank you, sister. And before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Were you from, Shauna?
Oh, I'm from Bundjalung, but I have some Mananjali and Yugambeh in me as well.
Beautiful. Well, lovely footprint. Thank you very much. And look, happy NAIDOC.
Yes, happy to you too.
And congratulations. Reaching Through Time. So a journey to uncover your family history, and publishing right in the middle of NAIDOC. So good timing. Time is everything in life. And you were so tired.
We didn't even know about that. We didn't even realise until after the publishing.
There you go. It was meant to be, sister. It was meant to be.
Meant to be, all right.
Exactly. So tell us about your storage, your lineage, and finding your connection right back through your family, back to, well, severe during stolen generation and back to the disposition and frontier violence. Tell us the story, please, Shauna.
Okay. Well, my book called Reaching Through Time is about my family history research. I'm Bundjalung, and mostly Bundjalung. Mm. And what happened was I traced my family history of my four Aboriginal grandparents' family lines. Mum and Dad Aboriginal, got four Aboriginal grandparents, and I traced their family lines as a genealogist back to the arguably colonisation of northern New South Wales. It was just a little bit after. But, on Bundjalung country. So I traced the family lines back, and I was doing that. Mm. And then one day out of the blue, my Uncle Jerry called me and said, late at night, and from Sydney, and I live in Brisbane.
Yes.
And I just thought, oh, hello, somebody's died.
And what we always think, don't we?
Superstitious. He rang up and said, oh, I met this white woman. Her name was Thelma Bostock, and I met her. That was her maiden name.
Yes.
She's a white woman. She's like in her late 70s, and she's researched the Bostock family history back to the 1600s in England. You'll never guess who our ancestors, the white ancestors, were. And I said, who? And he said, they were slave traders. And then he had this really deep belly laugh, and he just laughed and laughed, and he said, those white fellas in there must be rolling in their graves, knowing we turned out to be a mob of black fellas. So,
exactly.
So that...
That's true. That's the bloodline. That's the bloodline. It is what it is.
Hello. there's so many references to slavery and all that in the book. But basically, that was just like a curiosity bomb went off with me, and I just went, wow, because we always knew that we got the Bostock name from Augustus John Bostock, a white man who went to Bundjalung country in the 1800s. And he married an Aboriginal woman from Willumbin Mount Warning.
But he would stem from England, his family.
Yes. They did. There was Thelma traced the family line back to the late 1600s in England. So there to an ironmonger called Jonathan, and Jonathan had Peter. Peter had Robert, and Robert had Robert. The two Roberts were slave traders. So there's two generations of slave traders, and they ran ships down to Sierra Leone and then across to the Americas for slave trading in Cuba. And then Robert Jr. got arrested, and he was one of only two men ever transported to the colony for slave trading. And then that's where our family line begins. His grandson was Augustus John, and from some time in his life, Augustus John went up to Bundjalung country and married, had relationships with, married my great-great-grandmother, and had another relationship with another Aboriginal woman. Both of those relationships have children, descendants. So
they say, once you go black, you won't go back.
That's what they say.
There it is.
Yeah, so I don't know if he had two Aboriginal wives at the same time, but definitely had relations with them and children with them. So and then I just came forward in history. I went back as far as I could in all the four Aboriginal family lines, and then I moved forward. And then I knew that I was onto something big, really big. And I knew that our Indigenous authors were really getting a hard time by mainstream media and people not believing our history and questioning people's authenticity and all that sort of, rubbish.
Rubbish.
So what I did was, so I knew that I had to go to PhD to do it properly. I knew that I had to learn how to research and write like an academic to prove our history,
exactly,
to actually prove it with archives.
Yep.
And so I went all the way to PhD to do it. I was already a primary school teacher, so I just did two more degrees and learned how to research properly. And
Good
I got access
you.
To a lot of archives.
Yes. Yes, and so look, fantastic, and it is your history. Like, we're always talking about connection and finding your true connection. Now, it is what it is, whether it be black or white, you know, that's your lineage, and it is, and you are who you are today, and good on you for doing that. So what about, what did your parents think? And have you got siblings? What was their thought process?
Oh, I only have one surviving parent. My mother passed in 2017 while I was doing my PhD.
Okay.
And Dad's been cheering along the sidelines. Ooh. And I just had my book launch last Saturday, and three of, you know, the greatest history professors in the country came. Professor Peter Reed, who coined he brought out the stolen generation information in 1981. And Professor Anne McGrath and Professor Jackie Huggins. Jackie Huggins is now honorary professor at ANU. Yes. So I had my rock stars of history there. But it's a really important book. It's a multi-generational book about my family history. But as a PhD historian, I've placed it within the context of Australian history so that you can see what was happening around, you know, on the landscape and in politics at the time of each of the ancestors that I focus on. And I move through the chronology all the way through to the present day. So my thesis for the PhD was called From Colonisation to My Generation, an Aboriginal Historian's Family History Research Past to Present. Mm. But the book, which Alan and Unwin wanted to be a narrative for the general reader, is exactly what I wanted, because just so many people do not know the truth about Aboriginal history.
And let the truth be told.
Let the truth be told. Well, this is a really big truth-telling book. Mm. I got access to archives that nobody's seen before, and they're the Aborigines Protection Board archives. And so I show them to the reader, and that the reader can read the things that the Aborigines Protection Board said about my family members other Aboriginal people, and I tell the reader all about the managed reserve systems on Aborigines reserves and missions, how the Aborigines Protection Board ran the reserves, and how they were controlling Aboriginal lives, and they had Aboriginal people under surveillance all the time.
Yes.
And I really do show the reader how parasitic the government was, and how, you know, in using their money to manage Aboriginal people and having this great big bureaucratic office with so many people on this board.
Mm.
And they were just making decisions from Sydney about people's lives on country.
Exactly.
And, you know, well, they can move here, they can move there.
And to them, it's just a piece of paper. It's just filing cabinet. That's all it is. But there's actual people in the process, moving, separating, being murdered, slave, what have you.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shocking read for people who don't know anything about Aboriginal history, but it's eye-opening. And I want people to understand, like non-Indigenous people, that, you know, this history creates strong emotions at times, but I tried to create a balance. So
Australia's got a history, Shauna, good or bad, black or white, but the history is a history. Yeah. And as you said, let the truth be told. And there it is in regard to your lineage.
Yeah, but it's this multiple multitude of stories that go with it, you know, and not all white fellas on country were bad guys.
Sure.
There were people that certainly helped and supported Aboriginal people and were humane with Aboriginal people, but there's also government bodies and other people that were racist and inhumane with Aboriginal people. So I've got a good balance in the book of stories from both sides, and I want to show that, I want to tell people, especially your listeners, that this book is not going to smack people over the head with sadness, gloom, doom and misery. There's some funny stories in it.
Of course.
There's some sad stories. There's some happy stories. There's some stories about my Indigenous ancestors standing in their own power and other Aboriginal people thwarting the efforts of the Aborigines Protection Board to control them and winning, you know. And so I came to the end of the book and I explained that, I was finding out about their lives was liberating because I could see how powerful they were. They weren't victims of history. Sometimes they were. The history was terrible and oppressive at some stages.
But we rose above it. We still exist. We're here.
We're here. We're survivors.
Yes.
We're survivors forever. And so, yeah, they. I find these stories so powerful and so uplifting that I have a whole new view of Aboriginal history now. And I stand up and applaud my ancestors for their courage and bravery and valiantly fighting for equality in this country.
And by you finding your story, and we're talking here on National Talk Black, goes across the nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, it may inspire other brothers and sisters to do the same. But even our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well. Find your linkage.
Oh, that's exactly right. I think family history... Well, family history just came into the scholarly world as a burgeoning field of study because years ago people used to think that family history was an amateur thing, but now historians are doing it and doing it really well. It's really shining, and I think that a lot of people are going to be motivated to say, well, where did my family come from?
Exactly.
And look it up. And the book is about my journey. I don't tell you the history. I tell you about how I found out stuff and how it led to this.
It's a pathway. Yes, exactly.
It's all about my research journey, and I think people are going to be really motivated to say, well, if she did it, so can I.
Exactly. Now, Shauna, your book is out now. People can purchase it. Where can they purchase it from?
They can get it from Big W, Dimmix, you know, all the major stores.
Okay.
And if a store doesn't have it, they can ask the store to order it in. Alan and Unwin, the publishers, just told me they've got plenty of stock.
Good.
And they've sent them all over the country to the main bookstores. But if you can't find it, ask them to bring it in for you.
Exactly.
It's readily available. And today is the release date, so today it goes into the shops.
Reach out to it. Check with your news agency or your bookstores. Reaching Through Time is the name of the book. Congratulations, my sister, and thank you very much for sharing and inspiring our people about finding
thank
their connection.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me, Trevor. Really appreciate your time. Thanks.
You keep smiling, my sister. Adelie Yarn, beautiful yarn there. Shauna Bostock, her name is, author of the book Reaching Through Time, and is how Bundjalung women traced their ancient history from frontier violence right to through to 2023. So, look, we're always talking about finding connection. That's in depth and that's right to the bone, even back through colonization and even back through finding that her ancestors were slave traders. There you go. Hence the name Bostock. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. And have your saying, Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Happy Natal to you, Mob, and a happy Natal to beautiful Samantha in WA. Hope you're well, my dear. And her beautiful son, who's a carer, John, hope you're well. And to all our First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, happy NAIDOC and Deadly Black Network. Keep doing what you're doing, you mob.
We treat you, mob. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Best of National Talk Black. Catch you, mob, next week, same time, same station.